Good morning. Last week we began the sugya of Nehneh and Mishtarashi. And to briefly summarize, what we learned was that if you have a benefit from someone else, you have to pay. There's no such thing as a free lunch. You had the benefit, he had a loss, you're responsible to pay. Now we learned there were two important rules. The first is that this applies even if you did not intentionally go out to have a benefit. If a person's walking down the street and he trips or he's pushed and he falls onto someone else's hat, sushi, whatever it is, and that item saves him, it prevents him from damage. So although he's not a mazik, he was an oinus, it wasn't his fault, but since he was nana, since he benefited, instead of hitting the hard concrete, he landed on his friend's hat, halacha, he's a nana, and he would have to pay. The second rule that we learned is that although you have to pay for the hana, you do not necessarily pay the full value of the item. The example that the Gemara gave is a person borrowed a cow and then died. His yarshim saw the cow sitting around. They assumed it was theirs. They assumed it was part of the estate, and they ate it. So the halacha is they were nana. They enjoyed it. They ate the steak. They have to pay. But because they only ate it thinking that it was free, had they known that they had to pay for it, they would not have had a steak. They would have had a simpler meal. So the halacha is you pay to mebasar bezol, which the standard is you pay 2/3 of the value, and that is what we consider the value of the benefit, the value of the hana. So a young man got married, and it seems that the norm back then used to be was that after you got married, you moved into your in-law's house. The arrangement was he was going to stay there for 2 years. Now, once he moved in, apparently it's easier to, you know, evicting your son-in-law is not always so easy. And he ended up overstaying his welcome. And he lived in his in-law's house for 5 years. He ate, he enjoyed the house, all expenses paid. Now, apparently, spending that amount of time with your in-laws was never a wise idea. And after 5 years, they got into a fight. Father-in-law threw the son-in-law out of the house. And on his way out, he presented him with a bill. You've been living in my house for 5 years. He pulls out a spreadsheet of every steak that he ate, all of the expenses. He said, you had hana, you benefited, I want you to pay. What is the halacha? So this case is actually discussed by the Truma Sadeshin. And Truma Sadeshin begins by saying, L'choyer, this is our sugya. The son-in-law was nana. He benefited, he had room, board, he ate. He had hana from his shver's belongings. Now, although when he did it, he had no intention of paying, and he thought it was on the house, but halacha is by a nana, even if there's no agreement, there's no contract, there's no heskim to buy or sell, there's no set price. The bottom line is, if you are nana, if you have enjoyment from it, so the Trumas Deshin said you should have to pay. Now the son-in-law countered that, listen, I'm not the only son-in-law. He had a brother-in-law who stayed in the house for 10 years. And the shver never presented him with a bill. So he said, if you did it for my brother-in-law, my shvager, you didn't bill, why are you billing me? Zakat Chumas Sadeshin, it's a very nice question. Perhaps he doesn't like you. But the bottom line is, if you have hana, if you have a benefit, you have to pay. And if your shver is nice enough to be moichel to give a present to his other son-in-laws, that's very nice, he gave him a present. But that doesn't give you a right, a schus, to demand the same present. And if you had the hana, the halacha is you're going to have to pay. Now this is brought down the halacha by the Rambam. And what we see from here is that whenever a person provides either goods or services, and if there's some sort of misunderstanding, and the recipient thinks that it's a neighbor, it was done as a favor, it was done as a toivo, the halacha is, if you're nana, since you benefited, halacha is you will have to pay unless it is clear that there was a mechila.
Well, why is it clear there's a matana in this case? That should be in charge in 3 years.
So the fact that the person doesn't send you a bill right away, the Truma Sadeshin says, is not a raya for a mechila. If you are able to prove, and that Truma Sadeshin speaks out, if based on the circumstances and the facts, you're able to prove that it was clear he had no, at the time that he gave it, it was intended as a present. The halacha is, once you give a present, you can't change your mind. But if it's unclear, the burden of proof is on the recipient. You were nana. The default of a nana is you pay. If you can prove it was intended as a free gift, great. But if it's a suffix, if it's not clear, just because you assumed it was for free, you would still have to pay. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan said, the Aruch HaShulchan says that today, if you think about it, if you invite someone for a meal on Shabbos, they come over, and then after Shabbos, based on the Shulchan Sadesh, you can send them a bill. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, today, where it's unheard of to bill your neighbor for a friend for after you invite them for a meal, and there he says, there's an umdino, it's clear it was intended as a gift, unless you speak it out, even if your intent was to bill, it's Dvam Shabalev, and you would not be able to do so. But clearly back then, it could go either way. Once you overstayed your welcome, then you should have at least anticipated that there was going to be a bill at the end of the day, and you'd have to pay. Because like this, Hamayit Mechvei Avarai is when there's a suffix. So normally the burden of proof is if I want you to pay, I have to prove that I have a claim. Here, the food belonged to the shver. When you take it away, when you're nana, the halacha is you have to pay. So the fact that maybe you intended it as a gift, or maybe you were a meichel, that's a taina geruah. Every time that there's someone owes someone money, or every time there's a mekach u'memkar, the person can't say, you know what, maybe after I bought the car from you, maybe you were meichel me. So I don't want to pay you. No. We know that I owed you, I bought the car. We know I owe you this money. And if I want to claim mechila, if I want to claim that you waived that, the burden of proof is on me. So here too, since the son-in-law was nana, he benefited. If he wants to claim that there was a mechila, that it was intended as a gift, he would have the burden of proof. But one thing, what is important, halacha, if at the time the father-in-law meant it as a gift, and now he's going ahead, they get into a fight, and now he's trying to take advantage of going after him, that would be gzela, because it was intended as a gift, you can't change your mind afterwards. The fact that he had a spreadsheet of what everything was eaten for the past 3 years would indicate that something was doing from day one.
So it took 3 or 5 years, whatever, for him to present the bill. Is there implied amount of time the person has to
No.
pay?
I mean, no, there's no statute of limitations in halacha. To the extent that he waited 20 years and then presents a bill, the Dayanim are going to have some hard questions for the parties. But there's no absolute, it'll be a factor that the Dayanim will take into account in proving what the intent of the parties was. But again, the burden of proof is on the recipient.
Yeah, in terms of the amount of time the person has to pay back this bill, can I take 5 years?
Typically, if you owe someone money, you have this man bezdin and shloshim yom.
Really? Even for a 5 year bill?
Correct.
Why did he pay to make Moshe the soul? Because he thought it was all
right. Oh, you're right, 100%. Now, the bill that you pay, you're not going to have to pay the full value of the stakes. Because this, you would have the same argument as the Yarshim. You thought it was free. Had you known that you're going to get a bill at the end of the 5 years, you wouldn't have eaten the steaks. You would have just had cereal and milk for your meals. So you would only pay Dmei Basar Bazal. You would only pay 2/3 of the value of the food.
So if you give a guy a ride to Borough Park, can you give him a bill for half the gas afterwards?
Okay, so rides we'll get to that. Oh, that's what we're driving at. This is all the cases we've been dealing with so far are chaser. We'll get to Zenev Zeli chaser. That's what today's shiur will be about. Now there is an interesting halacha. We're going to really get back to this in a future shiur. But the Shmuel Zedeshin points out that there's a halacha that if a person skips town and he leaves his wife alone without any money, without any food, without any way of supporting herself. So halacha is, if someone goes ahead and sees the poor woman and gives her mezainos, the halacha is, that is pareya choyve shachavera, and the husband, when he returns, is not responsible. He's not responsible. Now again, this needs an explanation. We'll get to it either next week or the week after that. But Zagda Chumas Hadeshan, when you get your itemized bill of everything you ate for the past 3 years in your shver's house, Zagda Chumas Hadeshan, en achanami, what the son-in-law ate, he was nana. He benefited, he has to pay for. However, if the bill included what his wife ate, so feeding the person's wife, just like if he went to the Medina Sayyam, if he skipped town, and someone fed his wife or fed his family, they would not have a claim against him. So the same thing is true here. and if the shver wants to bill him for what his daughter ate, that he wouldn't have to pay. But what he ate, there he was a nana, there you would have to, he would have to pay.
Why can't you tell me, look, you want to see your kids, you want to see your, you knew if I wasn't going to come, they weren't going to be here either. So you got something out of this. It's not like you can get anything out of this. So therefore, I don't know.
That was the attitude that probably caused the fight.
That's reality.
It's
the family's like another at least meet somewhere else.
Very extensive visitation rights.
very likely
the daughter would have a chiyuv. The daughter, you know, may or may not have any money. But and the father can bring the daughter, you know, I think the father was probably upset at the son-in-law. But Enchami, the daughter, you, if whatever she ate, she was a nana. And Enchami. Okay, we're going to deal with the Chodesh Mishpah part, not with the Shalom Bayis so they have an Ezer issues. Now, this is a Trumas Adeshen, and this is brought down the Halacha by the Ramah and Simin Reish Mem Vav. The problem is that in Simin Shin Samach Gimel, which is really the Halachas that we're learning, that we're going through today, the Ramah quotes a Tashbeit. It has a case, a person comes to you have a friend who comes to town from overseas. And when you meet him, you tell him, oh, I see you just came from Eretz Yisrael. You know what? You're welcome to move into my house for a few days. I'm going out of town anyway. Here are the keys. You can use my house. The fellow moves in and stays in the house for the week. And then when he moves out, the landlord calls him and says, okay, you were in my house for a week. Muncie housing is very expensive. And I want $150 a day. You lived in my house. You were nana. You benefited. You enjoyed it. Pay. So over there, the Ramah says, "V'shem l'tashbeit." The halacha is, you're pater. You invited him in. If he didn't say anything, the assumption is that it's for free. So all of the mefarshim say, "What's going on? We have a stira." The Ramah in Simin Reish Mem Vav said that if you invite someone in for a meal and he eats, he's nana. He has benefit. You can bill him at the end. And over here we're saying, if you invite him in to stay in your house, at the end, and if you don't say anything, you have no right to charge. So many of the Mefarshim say to Sira, the Bach, the Shach, Chassam Sofer, they say to Sveikut Adina, they say Halacha is not clear. And therefore they say, Hamoitzi Mechadeo Avaraya. In both cases, both when you invite them for a meal, even when you invite them for a meal, where although the Ramah quotes the Trumas Nadeshin that you do have to pay, because we have the other Ramah from the Tashbeit, that when you move into someone's house, you're potter. So they say it's a Seika Dedina. The halacha is not clear. And the son-in-law can say Kimli, and he would not have to pay.
Why isn't that
the Oh, so the Goyin and some of the Akroidim point, and if you look at the Tashbeit inside, he says it almost explicitly. The Goyin says there's a very basic difference between the cases. In the case where you ate the person's food, so every steak that the son-in-law ate was money out of the shver's pocket. He had to pay for the food. So it was a zen nana. One person benefited. The other person lost. And that's why you have to pay, even though nothing was said at the time. You can present a bill later. So like the Goyin, in the case of when you move into the house was vacant. It was empty. When you invited this guest in, the homeowner suffered absolutely no loss. So since even though the person who moved in was nana, he benefited, because this benefit did not come at a cost, because there was no expense to the landlord, that's why you do not have to pay. So going back to our case with the shver and with the eidim, so we're going to have to break down the bill. Whatever he was billing him for food, there he was nene, there was a chisaron, the food costs money, and you'd have to pay for it. But if he's sending you a bill for boarding, for charging you rent for the room or that in the house that you used, there he could say to his end of his eloi chaser, it didn't cost you anything, and according to the Goyin and then and this mahalach there, you would have to pay.
So what did I say?
Sorry, you would not have to pay. I'm sorry.
So what are the other things? It's
a pashut chiluk, but it's a question of what the Ramah's case is. The other is because of the way the Ramah says it, and because of the context, say that the Ramah is talking about a case where there was a chasar. Where moving in did cause a loss, and Afal Pi Kein, the Ramah says, you're potter, and that's why they feel it's a stira, and it's a sekud adina.
Why is that? Because of the way you invited him? In other words, because
According to the Goyin, the Ramah really has nothing to do with how you invited him. If he moved in himself, the halacha would be the same. This point, that it has nothing to do with inviting or not inviting, is why the other Mefarshim don't like this pshat, and they say it means even when there is a chasara.
It's because of the implied.
So that's why they're medayik the Ramah like that. The Goyin's point is the Ramah is quoting a Tashbetz, and if you look at Tashbetz, that is the case that he's discussing. Okay, good. So that when we talk about Zen and Vizel Chaser, we're going to talk about what's considered a loss and what isn't. We'll get to that. Okay, so we'll get to that. Once there is a chesaron, and very often you have to pay the entire amount, we'll deal with utilities, whether that's the same or not, in a moment. So, Mekach Toys is not going to help you, because even though it's a Mekach Toys, so give back the if you want to give back the stake, I'll refund the money. But if you can't refund the stake, the claim of Mekach Toys is not really going to be relevant. As far as why can't we prove from his silence, the point over here really is that when you're getting Hana from someone else's money, you have to pay. Now, if he means it as a gift, and you can establish that it was meant as a gift, you're off the hook. But the burden of proof is on you. Since by taking his money in a way where he's going to suffer a loss, you're a nana, and nana is liable to pay for that benefit, if you want to claim that it was intended as a gift, you have the burden of proof. If you prove it, if you convince the Beis Din, because of the silence, because of the circumstances, it was clearly intended as a gift, you're correct. But the burden of proof is on you. And if there was just a plain old-fashioned mistake, he was going to get paid, you thought it was a gift. There was no meeting of the minds. You don't need a meeting of the minds. Nana has to pay because of the benefit, not because of a contractual agreement.
According to the Gra, if the Shrey leaving the room, they'll be taken out of the bill. But why can't you say he lost out those 5 years of using the for storage?
Okay, so we'll get to later when the Goyin's point is it's a Zen end of a Zelo Chasa. It wasn't going to be rented out to anybody else, and therefore there's no loss. We'll discuss when we get into the sugya, which we'll get into hopefully shortly. We'll get into what it means, you know, what the parameters of a chasaron are. But his point is, there was no law. The shver did not lose money by the edim living in the house, and since it was a loy chaser, he wasn't going to rent it out anyway. Therefore, it is zena of zelo chaser, and therefore you would not have to pay.
Even in the case of zena and zelo chaser by a deer, would you also cipher? Can you say that this chiluk of the goyim would apply also, let's say, by utilities?
We'll get there. Let's just wait. Okay, now before we get into the sugya of Zayin and Vizel HaKosha, there's just one more halacha, which it's not that common, but it's the Nesivos in a few places uses it to explain different halachas. I'd just like to very briefly go through it. And that is the Tosfos that says a chiddush. The cases of nana are always either a person eats something. When you eat something, you physically have a direct physical hana. You're having pleasure from it. You have the hana, you have to pay. You have other cases where either you or your asset, your shor, falls onto something, and your animal took the hana. It took the initiative. It jumped onto your neighbor's hat or your neighbor's food. So since your thing took the action, it's the one that took the hana. Therefore, you have a responsibility to pay mashenana. However, Zok Tosfos, if you're not directly you physically have no direct physical pleasure, and this is not done because of your actions or your mom's actions, it's done by a third party. There, the Tosfos paskins, there's no chi of nana. And just to give a quick example, if you have you're landscaping, and it's looking a little bit schwach, you haven't taken care of it very well. Your neighbor has a big jar of fertilizer, Miracle-Gro, sitting on their lawn. A big wind comes along and knocks the fertilizer onto your property. Now your shrubs are growing beautifully. So although you're a nana, although your shrubs are growing nicer, since you didn't physically, no physical pleasure, it's not like you ate something, and it wasn't your action, it was a wind that came and blew it onto yours. So in such a case, Tosfos says, there is no chi of nana. Nishachot with the second Adina. And again, it may come up, and it just in Lamdus, this, the Mestivus uses this to explain a number of halachos. So I just want to mention it. So Adkan, the sugya of Zen Nenev Vizel Chaser. Person eats something, you have a pleasure, it comes at your friend's expense, you have to pay for the hano. What we're going to talk about now are cases where it's a Zen Nenev Vizel Loi Chaser. You're having a hano, you're having a benefit, and the other person doesn't really lose anything. And the classic story that they say is there was an ani, a very poor person. He worked morning to night. He was barely able to put food on the table. And every morning on his way to work, what he would do is he passed by a bakery. And this bakery, it was early in the morning. They were just busy baking their bread and the pastries. This ani knew there was no way he'd ever in his life be able to afford to buy anything at this bakery. Certainly not fresh bread and certainly not anything fancier. But the one pleasure that he had in life was on the way to work, he would stop a few moments, and he'd stop by each thing, and he'd take a big whiff, and he'd smell it. And that way, a little bit of hana he would have, and he'd go on to work, and he'd make it through the day. This baker was a very stingy fellow. And every morning he comes, and he sees the same person would come by, walk by each thing, take a big sniff, savor the aroma. And he never bought anything. So he got more and more irritated and finally told him, that's it. If you don't want to buy anything, no smelling. Fellow kept on coming. So he brought him to within Tahib sued him. You're being nana, you're enjoying all of my hard work, the bakery, so you should have to pay me. They go to the judge. The judge hears both sides of the story and he says, you know what? It's right, it's not fair that this poor person you're benefiting from, well, this baker gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning with the expectation, I want you to come back to me next week with 100 gold coins. So Ani is shocked, but the judge ordered him to bring the money, so what's he going to do? He goes around, he borrows the money, comes the next week at the court date, pulls out the money. This baker is beside himself with simcha. Oh, finally, after all these years, he's going to get paid. So he goes over, and as he's about to take the money, the judge says, no, stop. I didn't say he has to pay you the money. You can smell the money. Who's right? So what this brings up is the concept of zenev zelo chaser. It's true when you're smelling something, you have hana, you have pleasure. But this hana is not costing anything. No one is losing from your pleasure. And the shaila is, do you have to pay? I'd like to just go through a bunch of scenarios, and then as we go through the sugya, we'll get back to each one. The first, which you mentioned last week, is using someone else's Wi-Fi. You're traveling, you have your iPhone, your computer, whatever it is, you want to check your email. You open up your computer, you find a Linksys, which is not secured, you go into someone else's network, and you download your email. Is that mutter or not? You're a nana, you're certainly benefiting. The other person may or may not be having a chesaron, and are you allowed to do that? Case number two. You're at a baseball stadium or football stadium. Now you're there for about an hour and you have the cheap seats in the bleachers. And after a while you notice that there is an empty seat right down by the field. Now you're having a hard time, you can't see the dais very clearly. What else do you do at a stadium? So you want to go down and use the better seat. Now you're certainly going to be nana. You're going to have a better seat. But no one else is losing. There's no chaser. What is the halacha? Do you have the right to do so or not? And lastly, person has an investment in a rundown neighborhood. There are a bunch of other people that also invested there with the hope that the neighborhood will one day turn around. That day does not seem to be coming anytime soon. So one developer takes matters into his own hands. He goes ahead, but rips down a couple of properties, puts up a beautiful office tower, brings in a subway line, whatever it is, and now the neighborhood is booming. He then goes ahead, turns to everyone, all the other investors in the neighborhood, and says, I want you to pay. You're having hana. Your investments now doubled in value because of my effort, because of what I did, my work, my development. And I want you to share in the expense that I had in creating this value.
On his property.
What?
He built it on his property.
He built it on his property, but this caused all the properties around it to go up in value. And now he wants everyone to share in this hefzid. He wants to share in the expense.
Is that possible?
Okay, we'll get to that.
Is it yours?
Good, we got to that too. So let's begin. The Gemara that talks about these sugyas, it talks about hador b'chatzar chaveira. A person has a house or he has a courtyard. He moves it. He goes down to Florida for the winter. When he comes back, he discovers that in his absence, someone has been squatting in his house. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the halach? Can you force the person, can you tell the person, listen, you've been in my house for the past 5 months, rent, the rental value is $2,000 a month, I want you to pay. Zak the Gemara, you cannot do that. It is a zeh neneh v'zeh chasen. Although living in a house certainly has value, there's a hana. Had you not gone to Florida, this person would have had to rent a house. He would have had to pay good money for rent. But you did not suffer a loss. You were in Florida anyway. He took very good care of the house. Didn't do any damage. So it is a zenene v'zeloi chaser. The halacha is you have no right to send him a bill. The way the Pnei Yeshua explains it, it's kaifan al midas doim. In Sedoim, they were very makbid. That what's mine is mine. No one is allowed to benefit from my things. This baker that we discussed was from Sedoim, card-carrying citizen. But the halacha is, we are koifa al midas doim. A yid cannot act like that. And therefore, if someone went ahead and moved into your house and had a hana in a way that did not cause you any loss whatsoever, the halacha is koifa al midas doim. You have absolutely no right to send him a bill. Okay, so let's as far as the fact that people don't want it. So the question I would turn around and ask you is, are those people from Sedoim or not? To the extent that it's a loy chaser, there's absolutely no damage being done.
Physical damage.
Physical. Well, what other type of damage do we know of? There's no spiritual damage. He's not. It wasn't the top of the house.
As I said, mental, whatever, uncomfortability. He's your bed. He's your sheets.
So I don't know if that's called a chasarn. In Hilchos Sukkah, you find that the halacha is that normally we say by a sukkah, it's motivated, a person wants his things to be used for a mitzvah. So the other halacha that if someone's in the sukkah, you can't just barge in. Because while he's eating his sudor, while he's there, he doesn't want to share the sukkah with somebody else. But if he's not there, the halacha is, if he's not there, it's not going to bother him. You have the right to come in. Oh, no, it's like this. If he's not bringing his own sheet, if he's going ahead, the halacha is like this. This case only applies, the Gemara says, it by an old house. The old house is, the house is 10 years old. Whether it was lived in for 10 years or 10 years and 3 days is not going to make a difference. There's no chesaron. However, if you build a brand new house, the house is done, you close, but you're still in Florida. Before you make it back, so there's a squatter who sees a beautiful vacant house, so he moves in. There we say that's called a chaser, because it's shacharusa da'ashaisa. By living in a house, you blacken the walls, you make it used. It's now not a brand new house, it's now a lived-in house. That is called a chasarin, and there then this halacha would not apply. So it applies only when there's absolutely no chasarin, no loss to the homeowner. Oh, that we'll get to. The case of the Gemara, all the cases in the Gemara are talking about after the fact. The person already did it. He lived in it, and the question is, can I send him a bill? L'chad chilo, that's a separate discussion we'll get to in a few moments.
Well, what about the trespassing issue?
It really comes into the same question. There's a question of l'chad chilo, whether the person can stop you. That we'll get to in a few moments. But we're dealing with, he was there already. Can I send him a bill? There we say, sending him a bill for a hana that didn't cost you a dime, that's a midas doim. And that you can't do.
Does low kaimel agar mean that he hasn't rented out the dash that we tried to...
Okay, we didn't get to that yet. We didn't get to that yet. So again, if you moved in, it was, it did not cause him a loss. It was, he wasn't going to rent it out. There was no financial, that he didn't lose anything from it. The halacha is you're a zenene v'zeloi choser, and the halacha is you do not have to pay. However, if you cause wear and tear on the house, you blacken the walls, you make it less valuable, there is a chisaron, there you've caused a loss, and there the halacha is you do have to pay. Now, interestingly enough, let's go back to this case. The house is brand new. You moved in for 5 months. So halacha is you were a nana. You enjoyed 5 months rent-free living. The other person, if it was a brand new house, was a chaser because you blackened the walls, you made it lived in. Now, what's the difference in value between a house that's brand new or that the walls are a little bit black? Not very much. Let's assume it goes down in value by $1,000. You lived there for 5 months. What's the rental value of 5 months use of a house?
$15,000.
How much do you pay? Your hano was $15,000. The chisarin, the loss that you caused the homeowner, was $1,000. So what are you paying? Are you paying for the hano or are you paying for the chisarin? So what most Rishonim say, and what we hold the halacha, is once there's any chisarin, you pay the full $15,000. Because really, we explained before, when you have hana, when I benefit from your thing, as a nana, I have to pay. No. When there's no chisarin, we say, this is midas toim. Why are you billing him for the hana? It doesn't make a difference to you. It didn't cost you anything. Let it go. However, the moment there's any chisarin, it's not midas toim anymore. Now you have the right to say, this hana came from me. I want to be compensated. And according to most Rishonim, you get compensated for the full value of the hana. So any loss will now trigger you pay the full benefit that you had.
What if he wasn't paying so before? So he went down the yard and you paid
for it? No, so that won't make a difference. That won't make a difference. If there was a hana, once he's chayiv, the fact that you painted the house is not going to change anything. So now the question is, how much of a loss do you need? The person moves into your house, he's there for 5 months. It was an old house. Zenen of Zelo Chaser, you can't send them a bill. So what do? You go into the house, and you do an inspection. You take a magnifying glass, you look up and down the house, and you find there's one place, he was in a rush, he knocked off a little bit of paint, $10 worth of damage. Halacha is, it's a chisaron. Since there's any loss, you can now send the person a bill for the entire hana. So this whole halacha applies only when there's absolutely no loss whatsoever to the homeowner. In fact, Tosis in Ksubis and Daf Lamed Aleph says that even if the chisaron is less than a shava pruta, it's nothing, it's a penny, still, it's a chisaron. It's no longer a midas toim. And once it's no longer a midas toim, you can send them a bill for the entire hana. So if you're going to do this, if you're going to be squatting in someone's house based on this shear, you have to be very careful. Because if you cause any damage whatsoever, you're going to get a very big bill.
You can't break the lock to get in.
Correct. No, that's for sure also.
And that's not me this
time. No. You have a hana. This hana came at an expense. It cost you. You have the right to say, I want to be compensated for this benefit that you had.
Why don't you just charge him?
Because the point is, let's go back again. When you have hana from me, as we've been saying today and last week, you have to pay for benefit that you have. You had benefit; it has value. You got that value from me. I have the right to bill you for it. It's only in a case where you're smelling my pastries. So it's me that's going to say that I want to benefit from that, or I want to charge you for that. But the moment it's mine and you're taking from me, now I have the right to say, if you get it from me, I want to be paid the fair price. Oh, it's like this. So it's like this. The Rashba really points out, and it's really a kasha, that we just said now that if there's any chisaron whatsoever, you can send him a bill, right? Even if it's less than a shava pruta, Tesis and Ksubis says Magaglan of Zakol, you send him a bill for the whole $15,000. When you live in someone's house, if you live in the house, you know, by definition, every time you open, you know, windows don't last forever, right? So if you sit there and open and close the window, let's say a million times, it'll wear out. So if anyone who moves in and opens the window once, technically speaking, now it is now one millionth more worn out. So what does it mean you live in a house and there's no chesaron? Everything, by definition, is getting somewhat more worn out. So the Rajba says like this. The Rajba in the beginning of the sugya says that the chesaron has to be a chesaron which is nikar and yadul adayan. It has to be something that you can see. Masha'en kain, if it's something which, although theoretically it's one millionth more worn out, it's not a chesaron. If you take someone's car and drive it around the block, so that's, even though technically there's depreciation, there's wear and tear, but if it's something which a mechanic, you showed him a before and after picture, would not be able to tell the difference, you would not have to pay.
What if he fixed it
before? Wait. So this is what the Rajba says in the beginning of the sugya. The Rajba at the end of the sugya says seems to be chayzer from this, and he seems to say, he says like this. He said, when you live in someone's house, it's true there's a little bit of wear and tear, but there's also a benefit to have a house lived in. We all know, you leave a house vacant and things happen to it. The Gemara says, shadim move in and damage it. There's no one taking care of it. There's an advantage for someone to be in the house. Zot the Rajba, even if living in it, there is some minor wear and tear, but that is outweighed by the fact that living in it chases away all of the shadim and therefore it's a net plus for the owner. Now, that doesn't mean you can go ahead, you can take a hana and then leave the guy a $10 bill and say this is now it's a net benefit. The Rajba's case is having someone in a house is a plus because there's a little bit of chesaron on the wear and tear. There's a big milah on the fact that the house is better taken care of. So this is not called a chesaron. However, in a case where there is a real chesaron, once there's a chesaron, you have the right to bill for the whole hana and saying I'm going to fix it or saying I'm just going to pay for that chesaron is not going to be enough. Once you trigger it, once you have to pay for the hana, you have to pay for the full amount.
What if he fixes it before?
When, before he moves in?
No, he's in there and he breaks something.
So as soon as he breaks it, I would say it's a chesaron. At this point, you have the right to bill for the hana, and fixing it is not enough. You have to pay for the entire hana.
If a guy stayed there and then he left and he came back, would that be considered two things? So let's say he damaged the first stuff. He goes out, fixes it, second time.
Good? Maybe. There was, for example, a case, this could only happen in yeshiva. Someone was in a dormitory in Eretz Yisrael. His roommate was Israeli, and they have different standards of cleanliness. And they didn't do laundry quite as often. So what did his roommate do? What he did is he waited. He only did his wash every couple of weeks. When something got really dirty, he would wait until one of the Americans was doing a wash, put his quarters or his shkolim in the machine. And after he walked away, this Israeli would come, open the machine, put in his shirt, and close it. He made sure that when the cycle was done, he got there first. He opened the machine, he took out his shirt. He dined it. It was a zenin of his elechasa. You're paying for the wash anyway. Now, there was a little bit of extra space. What do you lose from the fact that I put my shirt in? Now, if the shirt was really grimy... So the other person said, no. He says, logically, the more stuffed the machine is, the less clean everything gets. But based on the Rajba we started off with, the Rajba says you need a chesaron which is nikar and yadua. If it's something which is not measurable, according to the Rajba, and most Rishonim seem to go with it, that would not qualify as a chesaron. It has to be something which is real, which is tangible. It doesn't have to be much. Taisa says it can be less than a shava pruta. But it has to be something that you can put your hands around. That's something which you can actually see. Once there is a chesaron, even a mashu, you can send them a bill for the entire amount.
So do we say that living in your house outweighs the minor damage?
Yes. So in a house, if it's a new house where it was and you're blackening the walls, that's called a chesaron. But a house which is already broken in. So in such a case where we say the fact that it's not vacant would outweigh it, and therefore would not be considered a chesaron. Obviously, if you do create a chesaron, that would be different, but the standard is that would be considered a zenen of a zelechasa.
Up to a certain point, I guess, wear and tear. Up to some sort of wear and tear. Eventually, weighs probably the
less. Well, the longer you're there, the longer you're keeping the mazikim away and keeping other damage from happening. But the assumption is that being there is a net plus for the owner, and that would be a zenen of a zelechasa.
The guy has a few houses, he wants to sell houses, but you being there...
Very good. So if the house is something which is for rent, or for sale, there the halacha is, that is zenev zechasa. Had you not been there, the owner would have rented it out to somebody else. You being there is causing him to lose all that rental income. That is a tremendous chisaron, and there you would clearly have to pay. Now, where it gets a little bit sticky is that Taisus explains that it's, you know, Taisus really has a kasha. Let's say I move in, there's a hotel. I notice there are a bunch of vacancies, so I slip into a room. And I make sure that, you know, what'll happen if the hotel fills up? If the hotel fills up, I'll skedaddle. So I can say, it's true, I'm Nana. I'm living in the hotel room. But it's loy chaser. They have vacancies anyway. The moment they fill up, I'm going to leave. So I didn't cause them a loss.
For another hotel.
Right. We move on to the next one. So Taisus says, the reason why you have to pay over there is, because if you're in an apartment, which the owner wants to rent, the very fact that someone's there will discourage anyone from renting it. They'll assume that it's occupied, and therefore they're not going to even knock on the door, and that's called a chasar. Based on this, the Rajdam has a case where the person, instead of moving into the house, he needed a place to store his goods. So he took a couple of boxes and he put it in the closet in the person's house. Now, no one who wanted to rent the house had any way of knowing that the closet was stuffed with this person's garbage. So he said, although the owner wanted to rent it, he said it's a loy chaser, because you moving in there didn't discourage anybody else from renting it. Now, based on this logic, if there's a big hotel and you move on to the fourth floor, no one will know whether you're there or not. They just call the front desk and ask if there are any vacancies, and if there are vacancies, they'll rent it. So based on this, according to this Maharaj Dan, there might be a Zain and a Zelech Chaser. The Erech Lechem argues, he says, Loi Plog. He says, we can't go ahead and start making Cheshbon, just figuring out, did people notice, did people not notice? He says, we don't find anywhere in the Gemara there's any difference. And therefore, he says, if the owner is trying to rent it out, doesn't matter whether people did notice or not. If you move in, it's called a zener or a chaser, and you'd have to pay. Oh, very good. So this whole discussion was all after the fact. If someone, he moved into your house, 5 months later you realize it, you want to send him a bill. On that we say, Klaven on me the stoim, you cannot bill for a hana that did not come at your expense. Whether you can move in l'chadchila is another whole different discussion. And if you think about it, the other cases that we discussed, the cases of using a Wi-Fi. So if you use the Wi-Fi, so then after the fact he wants to send you a bill. So then we have our discussion of a zene and of a zele chaser that we've been talking about. But really the question over there is different. There the question is whether l'chadchila I can go ahead and use the Wi-Fi without asking his permission. And for that you'll have to come back next week.
Go to a hotel and set it for 4 people.